Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Schools in, principals are empowered, they say, but are rising math scores real? Maybe you saw the Daily News front page exclusive today about how rising math scores in New York might be the result of easier tests. We will talk to the reporter who broke the story in a few minutes, but first, education historian Diane Ravitch. She was once an assistant education secretary in the administration of first President Bush as well. We'll talk to Professor Ravitch about the latest new wave in the city schools bureaucracy, More Power to the Principals. Diane Ravitch is the author of many books on education, including several that looked at the history of public education in New York City. And she is research professor of education at NYU. Professor Ravitch, welcome back to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning. It's nice to be with you.
So empowering the principals is in. What's new here as you understand it?
Well, I wrote a history of the New York City schools, and so I can tell you that when the school system was founded in 1842, there was a citizen board of education. There has been a citizen board of education from 1842 until 2002, when mayoral control was established in its current form. This whole notion of empowering principals is sort of odd because it's part of the overall scheme of dismantling the public education system and setting each of the schools on their own bottom. What is strange about it, though, is that what I hear from the principals, many principals that I've spoken to, is they really don't have any more power than they had before because the Department of Education selects all the vendors. The Department of Education really makes all the rules, and then there are the state rules, and then there are the federal rules, and then there's still a union contract. So I don't know of any principal who says, I am truly empowered, and aside from the new state money, they don't have any more budgetary flexibility they did before. The other thing you might notice from the news report I just heard from Beth Fertig is that none of the state money seems, or very little of the state money seems to be going towards reducing class sizes, which are a continuing problem in New York City.
In terms of whether the principals are empowered or not, the chancellor says they're empowered in a number of ways, and then they're also going to be held accountable. They're going to be graded on how much educational outcomes improve at their schools. But what I've heard is that they're empowered somewhat with respect to budget because there's more discretionary spending. I already know some arts educators and some librarians who are unhappy about how money is being removed by individual principals from their programs and put into other things. Also, I remember you've been very critical in the past of some of the choices for the centralized curriculum when the big thing was the standard curriculum. You didn't like the reading curriculum in particular. And now apparently, and Chancellor Kine was here in the summer saying this, principals are going to have much more control over what curriculum they choose to pursue, but they're going to be held accountable for it.
Well, two things about that, Brian. First of all is that I have been told by many people in the system, as well as read in the various accounts in the newspapers, that principals will have no control over curriculum. They are bound by what's tested, and they're also required still to use the choices about curriculum that were made by Chancellor Kline when he first came into office. He is not standing down on his requirement of using the reading and math program that he adopted in the first place. The second thing is that the city has become, or the city school system, such as it is, the Department of Education, is totally test obsessed. And I guess that if you were to say, what's my big criticism of the school system today or the Department of Education, it's that there is no vision of what education is. I don't think our kids are being educated. I think they're being turned into test-taking puppets, and that may sound too strong a term, but this year they'll be taking 12 tests. And all they're doing really in the schools now is preparing for the next test because everything is going to be testing, and accountability. And the bonuses for the principals will be based on the test scores and whether the kids advance or retain depend on the test scores. So these scores are very critical. And at the end of the day, you really have to ask, whoa, is that what education is about? Is it just testing? Now, I'm not against testing. I've always been in favor of testing. I served on the National Testing Board. I think the piece in today's Daily News by Aaron Einhorn is an incredibly important piece because what it shows is that the state actually made the test easier. If you talk to people in the school system off the record, they'll tell you that it wasn't only the math test that was easier, the English tests were also easier. And this is not a, shouldn't even be a secret, because in 2005, the test scores not only soared in math in New York City, they soared in Rochester, they soared in Syracuse, they soared in Yonkers, they soared across the state. Any testing expert who sees that kind of a dramatic change immediately looks to the test and says, what's going on with the scoring here? This does not represent improved achievement. It represents a change in the hardness or easiness of the test.
And also joining us now is Daily News reporter Erin Einhorn. Her article today with a front page headline is Daily News Exam Finds Math Scores Went Up When Difficulty Rating Went Down. She's traveling with the chancellor today, so she's out somewhere on the road in New York City. Erin, where are you? Hi.
Hi, I'm in East Harlem. We're pulling up in front of a charter school that the chancellor's about to visit.
So tell our listeners in a nutshell what your readers read this morning.
Well, the Daily News did an examination of fourth grade math exams, the high stakes tests that children take every year, to take a look at how consistent those tests are from year to year, because every year they are compared. And when test scores go up, we all celebrate and say our schools are getting better. And when scores go down, we gnash our teeth and try to figure out why. And I wanted to find out whether there were other factors at play as well, including whether the difficulty changes at all from year to year.
So how do you measure the difficulty of a fourth grade math test? And how do you know that it got easier? What's your evidence?
Well, for one thing, I gave a portion of the 2002 test and the 2005 test to the same group of kids. We had 34 children in a Brooklyn College summer program who agreed to take the multiple-choice portion of the 02 and the 05 test for me. And you figure you have the same kids, so they're not getting any smarter between the two tests. And I wanted to find out whether their scores would be the same on the two tests. And if the tests were equivalent, they would have gotten the same scores. But, in fact, they did 7% better on the 05 test than they did on the 02 test, which correlates with how kids did on those two tests in those 2 years across the state. Scores were much, much higher in 2005 than they were in 2002.
And, Professor Ravitch, you find this comparison scientifically valid?
Well, absolutely, because they looked at the testing values of it's something called a p-value, about how difficult or how easy the questions are. And they found that from year to year, the p-values changed and the test became an easier test.
Who's responsible for changing the test, Erin? Do you know who made that decision ultimately? And do you think that some kind of trickery was involved just to make things look better?
Oh, no. I don't think that we have any evidence to support that whatsoever. I mean, the test, CTB McGraw-Hill used the item response theory, which is a highly regarded method for equating exams to make sure that they're even. And I'm certainly not suggesting there was any deliberate attempt to dumb down the test, to manipulate results in any way. You know, there's error that goes into it. You know, they do their best, and sometimes they're right on, and sometimes maybe not so right on.
The mayor reacted to your story this morning. I don't know if you've heard this yet, or maybe you were there, but our Beth Fertig, who's also traveling with the chancellor, says the mayor dismissed the story, saying tests are the same throughout the state, so the city doing better in comparison to the rest of the state really is news and really shows that something's going on here.
Well, that's absolutely what the mayor said. I was there when the mayor said that this morning, and he's right. You know, any given test is given to all the children on the same day under the same conditions. So the test is always going to be a good measure, you know, within reason. There's problems with it, of course, but it's always a better measure of how child A did compared to child B, or the children in school A compared to the children in school B.
Well, except that in 2005, we saw even bigger gains in other urban cities. The biggest gain was in Rochester and in Syracuse and in Yonkers. They got bigger gains in New York City.
So the mayor's premise here that New York improved more than the rest of the state is false?
For 2005, it was.
Hmm.
Oh.
Erin, just before you go, tell me briefly, what is the chancellor choosing to highlight today? Oh, she's gone? Okay, I think we lost her cell phone connection.
Brian, if I could make a suggestion, it's something that I feel strongly about. New York State needs an independent testing and audit agency, because when Commissioner Mills announces that the scores are up, he says, we're doing the right things, let's give the regents a pat on the back. When the scores go down, he says, the test got harder this year. We're not getting honest answers from Albany. We're certainly not getting them from the politicians who all want to slap themselves on the back for higher scores and who make excuses when they're lower scores. They say, oh, this year we had to include the non-English-speaking kids or the limited English-speaking. They all have excuses and reasons. We really need an independent audit agency to look at all these education scores because this is a multi-billion-dollar enterprise, and it should not be fun by PR and politicians.
Education historian Diane Ravitch from NYU with me for another few minutes. Also for another few minutes, Aaron Einhorn, the Daily News staff writer who broke the front page story in the Daily News today, finding math scores went up when the difficulty rating of the test went down based on a comparison that she and other Daily News staffers did. Aaron, you're out with the chancellor today. I'm curious what he's choosing to highlight on this first day of school. Of course, there's a lot of ceremonial there are a lot of ceremonial appearances by the chancellor on a day like this. I guess he chooses what schools to go to. What's he doing?
Well, he's visiting one school in each of the five boroughs. This morning he was at an elementary school in the Bronx that seems to be doing particularly well. We're talking about scores. Their scores are going up. It's also a school that's using one of the things the chancellor's really stressing this year is an increase in funds from both the city and the state. Schools in New York City will get $1 billion extra, and this is a school that is spending its money in part on a new band director. So they're working on music and a teacher to help higher-achieving children. Now he's visiting a charter school. This chancellor is always very supportive of charters, so he's wanting to stress that. This afternoon he'll be at a middle school in Queens that is one of his favorite schools that he goes to quite a bit. There'll be a school in Brooklyn and a school in Staten Island. He's promoting his reforms, the things that he says are making better.
Considering your front page story, is he giving you dirty looks today, Aaron?
Not any more than usual, Ryan.
Aaron Einhorn, good luck out there. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And Professor Ravitch, are you saying that for all that's been done since Mayor Bloomberg won mayoral control of the schools, from the old Board of Ed and from the old, 32 school district system, which was so widely seen as dysfunctional, for all the change that we've talked about over the years, standardized curriculum, now empowering the principals to whatever degree that's real, changing the nature of the bureaucracy, all this stuff, are you saying that really nothing is functionally different for the average kid in the New York City public school system?
Brian, I think very little has changed from the child's point of view, except that the classes are still crowded. They have probably a new principal because most of the principals in the system have either retired or moved out since Chancellor Klein came in. There's been a tremendous amount of turmoil, which has landed most heavily on principals and teachers. There are many people, I would guess, making even more money today in the bureaucracy than there were 5 years ago. See, when you refer to mayoral control, you have to understand New York City had mayoral control from 1842 until 1969. The only difference was that New York City had a board of education, meaning citizens, a lay board, and there was somebody that the chancellor was accountable to. Now the chancellor and the mayor can do anything they want, and there is no other city in the United States, including Washington, D.C., or any other city that claims to have mayoral control, that has no citizen participation. So parents feel shut out. There's no role for communities. And it's really a one-man show, and I think that it's operated like a political campaign. We have photo ops. We have opportunities, to follow the chancellor and take pictures of him interacting. But in fact, it's like a running for the Senate or running for some other political office.
We just have 30 seconds, but the mayor says that there's accountability now for the first time because under the old Board of Ed system, it was technically civilian control, but what they were political hacks who were appointed by the mayor or the borough presidents, and ultimately those people couldn't be voted out by the people if they were doing a bad job. Now the people can look directly to City Hall, to the mayor, and say, you're failing me on education or you're not.
In fact, Brian, there's no accountability whatsoever because when the mayor ran in 2005, he ran with the inflated test scores of 2005. He was held accountable at that time when everyone thought the scores had soared and they hadn't. And now there's no accountability at all. If you don't like what the mayor's doing in education, you can't vote against him because he's never running again. And how do you hold Chancellor Klein accountable? There's no way. So now today, you have no one to turn to. There are no hearings that are meaningful. There's no public discussion. They do whatever they want to do, and there's no way of holding either the mayor or the chancellor accountable.
Diane Ravitch, author of many books on education, including a history of the New York City public schools. She's education research professor at NYU. Thanks a lot for joining
Thank
us on
you.
The first day of school. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, WNYC's Bob Henley on the latest dilemma facing people in lower Manhattan. It could be that the safety of the public from toxins at the Deutsche Bank building comes into conflict with the safety of firefighters. Stay with us.